We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings, and this Sunday will truly be a Sunday like no other. With this weekend's major golf tournament, along with both pro and college football, there'll be no shortage of action. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you in the center of the action with so many different ways to make it rain. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet they cover with risk-free Sunday betting. And on top of these great sign-up offers, DraftKings is going to have special promotions and odds boosts every day from Augusta. So you got to look up your DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download it now and use promo code KSN when you sign up and you get this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook, ensuring your Sunday bets up to $100. That's right, you bet they cover you up to $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up. Limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free, coverage paid out, and site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Greg Pickle. Greg, we've talked quite a bit about Maryland and the issues of an 0-3 team. You saw it with our questions and ask, Greg. The fans aren't happy, but we will at least try to make one fan a little bit happier. Aaron from Houston, who I think Greg picked as the winner because he gave you a mulligan, Greg, on your season prediction. Well, Aaron is the winner. I will be getting in touch with you, Aaron, and you will win the KSN polo shirt for the best question. All right, Greg, it's time to look forward. It's time to talk Nebraska. Despite being 0-3, they still have to play out the rest of the season. Nebraska comes into this game a little bit like Penn State. They're 0-2, got blown out by Ohio State. They lost to Northwestern, and they had their Wisconsin game canceled. So what is the mindset of these two teams going into this?
Well, Jim, I think Penn State fans and Nebraska fans are competing for who could be the maddest online this week. I think that's obviously one subplot of this game. You know, it just it's been a bad start to the Scott Frost era in Nebraska, and that has not improved at all. So far this season, where they only scored 13 points last week, and they're struggling to stop people on defense. So things do not look great in Lincoln, and obviously things are not great in State College right now. I was reading a Husker Online report, the rival site out there, and I mean, they don't have a clue who's going to start at quarterback, and it seems like both have been so consistently inconsistent that I don't know what they're going to decide to do, and they could end up playing a kind of two-man game out there where you see a little bit of Adrian Martinez early and then a little bit of Luke McCaffrey at some point as well. So just like Penn State, they're having quarterback issues, they're having motivation issues, they're having issues on both sides of the ball. So this is certainly an interesting contest on deck this week. And, you know, again, whichever team buys in, really, kind of bears down and goes after this contest, Jim, that's going to be who comes out as the winner. But I just think that, you know, Penn State obviously has to get its ship going in the right direction. So does Nebraska. And someone's going to perhaps save their season some this weekend. And the other one's going to be left trying to figure out how exactly it got to 0-4.
Well, Nebraska, we talked about Penn State talking about distractions. If any team has distractions in this conference, I would think it's Nebraska. They had their debates with the conference before the season because they wanted to play. Then when the schedule comes out, they have Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State as three of their first four games. They had their Wisconsin game canceled. I'm not sure how many folks saw this, but I believe Nebraska was trying to get a replacement game, and the Big Ten wouldn't let them. So it seems like they do have an issue with distractions. My question is, you know, Nebraska 0-2 and everything else going on, Penn State 0-3, it doesn't just come down to, you know, which team, which coach has lost his team and which team is able to actually get them to be motivated, even if this season isn't going to be what either team's fans thought it was going to be.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. Let me correct myself. Yeah, Nebraska would be wondering how it got to 0-3 if Penn State wins, not 0-4, because of the canceled game with Wisconsin. Yeah, number one, quarterback play for both has been putrid. And, you know, this line from Sean Callahan arrivals, I mean, I'm not sure if he's talking about Penn State or Nebraska, and of course he's talking about Nebraska, but the sentence is, Frost said the biggest issues facing Martinez, talking about Adrian Martinez from Nebraska right now, were recognizing coverages, finding open receivers, and delivering consistently accurate passes. Well, number one, that's pretty much the quarterback's job, so to be struggling in all three of those areas is a problem. Number two, couldn't you put Franklin and Clifford in that sentence? Could you replace Frost and Martinez with Franklin and Clifford? And you would probably not really change that sense a whole lot. So to me, it comes down to which quarterback is able to get it together as much as it is the coaching staff and the rest of the team. And, you know, again, does this Nebraska team really hunker down and buy in this week? And does Penn State do the same? I think we're going to know early on which team decided it still wanted to play this season and which didn't. And if they both don't want to play, then we're looking at possibly a 6-4 game, so maybe something along those lines, 6-3. But, yeah, it's a hard one to pick, Jim. It really is. Usually I have a pretty good sense of where I want to go with this prediction before we start this segment and early enough in the week. Right now, man, I don't have a good gut feeling on this one.
Well, when you look at the situation for Penn State right now, I agree. I do think it is at the quarterback play for Penn State will be the difference in this game. Do you have confidence in James Franklin, Kirk Ciarrocca, and Sean Clifford to turn it around? Those are the three involved in this situation.
I want to say yes, Jim. I mean, I want to say that we've seen enough from James Franklin and from Sean Clifford, and we know the kind of coach and person that Kirk Ciarrocca is. So, I mean, I want to say yes, but it's a tepid yes, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how you could have a strong conviction about it at this point. We have not seen Penn State practice or do any of that kind of stuff since the Cotton Bowl, so I can't really tell you what things look like when they're in practice or what that relationship and that dynamic is like, you know. But I would like to think that they can get this thing figured out. But if a number of guys throughout this program have said, you know what, we're 0-3 and we don't have anything left to play for, and we're just going to go put stuff on tape for the future and keep that individual spirit going that Jahan Dotson alluded to, then it's not going to matter if those three can figure it out or not. But this Penn State team just simply has too much talent. Even if they haven't recruited as well as maybe people thought they should over the last handful of years, Jim, they have too much talent to be playing the way that they're playing right now. So I just think that, you know, all told, and when all the chips are on the table, you know, these guys will eventually figure it out this year, and they're not going to go winless as some people have suggested. But, you know, no game's a gimme anymore. You know, before the season started, I'd have laughed at you if you told me Penn State would lose to Indiana. That was a brutal, you know, close loss at the end. The Ohio State game probably played out as expected. And then, you know, last week was kind of the tip of the iceberg where you're like, whoa, what is going on here? What is happening to this Penn State football team? And, you know, I would have told you before the season started that Nebraska was going to be a cakewalk and that Iowa would be maybe not an easy win, but a comfortable one, and that Rutgers and Michigan State would be blowouts, and they might be able to even go out to the Big House and beat Michigan. And I don't feel confident in any of that at this point. Even, you know, again, I just think that they have shown too many problems that it's not clear how they're going to be quickly fixed to think that these guys are going to go on some kind of big run like they did in 2016 to close out the year.
Our colleague, Dustin Hawkinsmith, I'll give credit for this question. He and I were texting last evening, and he brought this question up. When a team is 0-3, woefully underperformed, you sometimes think about, what changes can I make in personnel? Do you think we're going to see that anywhere? Maybe even in the starting lineup, will we see a different starting offensive line? Might we see one of the true freshmen starting at running back? Could we see a shakeup on the defense, although they do rotate a lot of players? What do you see James Franklin doing to shake things up a bit?
I think they got to do something. I mean, clearly what they're doing right now isn't working, Jim. You know, that's obvious. I mean, that's not up for debate. That's not up for discussion. What they're doing as a program right now is simply not working. And so could you see some changes? Yeah, possibly. You know, again, the fact that they were rotating so many offensive linemen in, you know, Juice Scruggs came in. I believe Des Holmes got some run, you know. Caden Wallace came into the game
quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I almost blanked on that name, so thank you. You know, they brought those guys in because they feel like the guys they had in are not producing. And, you know, again, this goes back to something I've said for a long time, Jim, and I said it even while touting the idea that the offensive line could be better. If you think you have six or seven starting offensive linemen, that means you don't have five starters. And that's been Penn State's biggest problem for the last few years now, is that they can't settle on just five guys because each – year there's at least one guy who might excel in one area of the job but not in the other, so they have a different guy who can come in and do that job better than him. That's been as much of a problem as anything over the last handful of years. So, you know, again, they're not getting push up front. They're not you got to change something at this point. And if you're not going to make any changes on the coaching staff, which like we talked about in the last segment, I just don't think that's a real possibility in terms of Penn State moving on from somebody. We'll see. If someone's contract's up at the end of the year and we don't know about it, then maybe that's how, you know, they'll do the Matt Limegrover thing and not renew a contract. But, I mean, outside of that, what other choices do you have but to make changes across your starting group and across your rotation of guys who get in the game? You would just think somebody would, you know, have to do something to shake something up within this program, and I will see what that is.
Well, we'd also like to see some changes, not change out a coach, but maybe change their strategies. All right, Greg, this is it. Our DraftKings spread on this game, last I looked, was Penn State was favored by 3.5 points, over under at 55.5. What's your prediction, sir?
I'm going to go with... Man, I hate this pick so much, but how about Penn State 27, Nebraska? Well, I don't know how they can get to 27. Let me run that back. Penn State 21, Nebraska 18.
Wow, 21-18. That could be an ugly game. So you've got Nebraska covering that 3.5 points from DraftKings, and
correct.
You have
yep.
the under.
And I believe they are a great teaser leg on DraftKings this week if you're into that kind of thing.
All right. That is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you for tuning in, and please join us next time.
This Sunday, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet they cover with risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.